This morning on Wake Up With Hope, Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional thought.
We'll have a dedicated prayer session and a special health segment with Dr. Randy Bivens.
Be sure to join us. Good morning, friends, and thank you for waking up with hope today.
Today is National Bluebird of Happiness Day. Bluebirds are amazing little birds who have long been associated with joy and happiness. We happen to have so many of them in our yard, and I love to watch them. They're popular in wedding cards and even nursery walls. These little birds have been the subjects of many paintings and songs.
You know, birds in general are incredible. They're always happily singing along, no matter the weather. Mm-hmm. If it's rain or shine, you can hear birds. They often seem to have no care in the world. They're a beautiful example of trusting in God.
Mm-hmm. In Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus promises that if we seek God and His kingdom first, everything else will be added to us. That means when we put God first, we can be sure He will take care of all of our needs.
And like the bluebird, we can sing a happy song and a joyful song no matter our circumstances. And later on today's show, we're going to have a special feature on how to have hope even in the midst of tragedy. Now, we're also going to have a prayer session as we take our cares and lay them at the feet of Jesus. You know, we can't wait. It's going to be a blessing today. But first, let's take a look back at what took place on this very day in history.
On this day in history in 1789, the Judiciary Act, which was signed by President George Washington to establish the Supreme Court, was passed by Congress. It began as a tribunal made up of six justices who were to serve on the court until death or retirement. Article 3 of the United States Constitution allowed for the establishment of the Supreme Court and granted it ultimate jurisdiction over all the laws of the land. The Supreme Court especially has had to deal with cases that question the constitutionality of a law.
You know, friends, the Supreme Court has such significant authority. Many of us may recall decisions that have been made by the Supreme Court and how much they have impacted our society here in the United States. But did you know that God has left an even greater authority for our lives? He has left us the Bible, His holy word, as the ultimate authority for us. You know, in the Bible, we can find the wisdom of God, His promises, and we can learn about His unconditional love for us. More than this, however, we can also find His laws and how He would have us govern ourselves through His guidance. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible is full of timeless instruction that does not change with the times. Rather, the Word of God seeks to change and transform us, no matter what century we're living in. And so, friends, we invite you to open your Bible today and pray for God to show you the path to true joy.
Amen. Today, Dr. Randy Bivens joins us as he talks about a most important health aspect we should not overlook, the importance of water.
Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will reduce your risk of heart attack. It is at least as effective as maintaining an ideal body weight, reducing high blood pressure, reducing cholesterol, or stopping smoking. It is virtually free, and there are no side effects in healthy people. This product, if taken in recommended amounts, will cure or significantly reduce the incidence of many diseases. These include kidney stones, gallbladder disease, constipation, urinary tract infections, high blood pressure, glaucoma, and venous blood clots. Although not yet proven scientifically, this product is thought to be important in reducing or improving most diseases known to man. On top of that, there are no adverse effects in healthy people. In fact, overall health and well-being are improved. Have you figured out what we're talking about? Two hydrogen atoms bound to one oxygen atom forming H2O, or water. A study published in the American Journal of Epidemiology showed that those who drank more than 5 glasses of water per day had significantly less death from coronary heart disease compared to those who drank less than 2 glasses per day. Dr. Chan, the principal investigator, wrote, basically, not drinking enough water can be as harmful to your heart as smoking. Drinking over 5 glasses of water per day will cut the risk of coronary heart disease in half. This has an equal or greater effect than any other well-known preventive measure. The researchers also noted that if people drank anything other than pure water, their risk for coronary heart disease actually increased. This includes tea, coffee, soda, and even fruit juices. Dr. Chan noted, people need to be made aware that there is a difference, at least for heart health, whether they get their fluids from plain water or from sodas. Perhaps you're wondering, how is it that something as simple as drinking water has such a substantial effect on our coronary health? Well, it has been shown that dehydration elevates blood stickiness and increases blood elements that promote clotting. When elevated, these are risk factors for coronary heart disease. So, how much water should you drink? Here's a good rule of thumb. Take your body weight in pounds and divide it in half. That number is the recommended number of ounces you should drink every day. Naturally, your need for water increases with exercise, warmer temperatures, and fever. When dealing with these situations, use your common sense and make sure you drink enough. It is helpful to drink at least 1 glass of water as soon as you wake up in the morning, as well as a glass of water at bedtime. This has been shown to significantly reduce your heart attack risk for that night. Your body is 75% water and your brain is 85% water. Water is more than a simple solvent. It is important in many body functions. With all of these benefits, why don't we hear more about water? Could it be because you cannot patent water? There's no profit in its research or its promotion. As you can see, in our goal to live longer, better, healthier lives, we need to develop the habit of drinking generous amounts of water in conjunction with reducing or eliminating the consumption of tea, coffee, soda, and fruit drinks. We just need plain pure water. Because of the risk of BPA and plastics, it's best to avoid most bottled water. It's a good idea to filter tap water. This can be effective in most situations with a good charcoal filter. This will also save you money in the long run. For those of us with well water, it's a good idea to have your water tested to make sure that it does not contain toxins such as heavy metals. So, in our goal to live 120 years of age, drinking plenty of water is definitely one of the most important habits that we can develop.
Well, we hope you're gearing up for prayer, because right after this short break, we'll be welcoming the Let's Pray team.
And if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more exciting content.
And search for us on YouTube, Wake Up with Hope, to explore our channel and see what else we have in store.
When tragedy strikes, it can completely change the course of plans, dreams, and even hopes. But think for a minute. Is it okay to feel dismayed or even hopeless in those times? Tragic events are often unannounced and always devastating. Though tragedy has many faces, it's something beyond our control that hit us at the core of our sense of safety and security. Therefore, it's quite common to feel lost, disappointed, and even desperate. Reaching out to God and clinging to His promises are always the best way to move past the darkest moments. However, it's not always the easiest nor the fastest solution. In fact, for some, resorting to God may oftentimes be the only option left. But God, who also knows what tragedy feels like, understands our pain, our fears, and our doubts. He longs to restore our peace, but waits patiently for us to invite Him into our chaos. Whilst in this sinful world, we're all subject to tragic events. But when tragedy strikes and threatens our faith and hope, perhaps the best way to regain confidence is by being still and knowing that He is God.
The Let's Pray team is with us here today to lead us in a special prayer session. We are happy to have them here this morning.
Hello, hello, you guys. It is that time again. I'm so grateful we have the opportunity to pray together as a community. Today, we want to praise God for His salvation. Do you know what happens when we praise God and when we contemplate the salvation? That's that helmet that's part of the armor of God, and it protects our mind. Amen, family? So as we pray today, I want us to think about this scripture. It says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will extol Him." That's in Exodus 15:2. All right, let's pray, family. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the chance to pray as a community and to contemplate and praise You, Jesus, for who You are and for the salvation that You have given us. Lord, I want to say that if there's anyone who is wanting to participate in the gift that You give, Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that they would accept You into their lives, Heavenly Father, that they would study Your word and that they would walk with You, Father, and that they would relate with You, Jesus, that they would have a saving relationship with You, Heavenly Father. But Lord, for those of us who are in relationship with You, Jesus, we want to say thank You. Thank You, Lord, that there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank You, Father, for the truth of Your saving, Heavenly Father, that protects our mind when the enemy tries to lie to us, when the enemy tries to whisper doubt and fear, or bring up just any of His schemes, Lord, when our flesh tries to rise up and act out, Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank You for Your salvation that sits right over our minds, covers us, Heavenly Father. And Lord, helps us to understand that we are loved, that we are redeemed, that we are saved, that we are Your children, that You rejoice over us with singing. Heavenly Father, I pray that the truth and the implications of the salvation You have given us, Jesus, begins to percolate in our hearts as a community, Lord, and the truth of who You are and who we have consequently become in You, Father, would just begin to penetrate our behaviors, our attitudes, that it would season our words, that it would change the way we relate to those around us, Heavenly Father. Because You have loved us much, Lord, I pray that we would take that same love and pour it out on behalf of this community, sacrificially so, Lord, to our families, our co-workers, our loved ones, those who don't even know You yet, Jesus. Let us be the Bible that they read every day, because of Your salvation and Your mercy and Your power in our lives, Heavenly Father. Lord, be with this entire community, Father. If there are those among us who are having a hard time connecting to why Your salvation is so beautiful, Father, and how it can protect our minds, I pray, Lord, that they would ask You today, Jesus, will You show that to me? It's not connecting for me. Father, would You continue to be faithful and continue to help us by the power of Your Holy Spirit to comprehend what it is that You would have us know about who You are and about Your salvation and what it says about how You feel about us, Heavenly Father, so that we can pour that beauty out upon the world around us. Thank You, Jesus, for saving. Thank You, Jesus, that we get to choose You every day because You called us first. You loved us first. We cannot even do this without You, Father. Thank You, God. It's truly all about You, Lord. Heavenly Father, I ask that You would be with those who have any heavy or deep needs today, Father, that their hearts are aching over. And I pray, Lord, that they would remember who You are and what You have done and what You continue to do on our behalf. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I pray that you're blessed today. God bless you as you go, whether it's good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, however this finds you. I just pray that you know that you're loved and that His salvation is a powerful saving. In the name of Jesus, bye-bye.
Thank you so much. You know, prayer is essential to our walk with the Lord. Coming up next, Jesus 101 will be with us to share an inspiring devotional message. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We're happy you stayed with us.
It's now time for devotional thought. Jesus 101 will be sharing with us this morning.
Hello, everyone. We continue with our series, After God's Heart, on the life of David. I once heard a definition of justice, mercy, and grace that I want to tell you about. It said, justice is when you get what you deserve. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. And grace is when you get what you don't deserve. Again, justice is when you get what you deserve. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Like if you deserved a punishment and you don't get it, you got mercy, right? But grace is when, on top of all of that, you get what you don't deserve. Like when God forgives us and at the cross He forgave our sin. But on top of that, we get eternal life, which we don't deserve. So that's grace. Today, we're going to talk about a story where David shows that he is really a man after God's own heart. And we're going to start actually on 1 Samuel chapter 20, where Jonathan asked David to make a covenant with him. You know that Jonathan was King Saul's son, but he knew that David was going to succeed his father on the throne. And so, and he loved David. They were the closest friends. And 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 14, it says, "If I am still alive, will you not show me the loving kindness of the Lord that I may not die?" And then he goes on, verse 15, "You shall not cut off your loving kindness from my house forever, not even when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David. It's interesting because he knew that he wouldn't succeed his father, that David would. Well, of course, David said, yes, you know, I love you as my friend and I will show mercy and loving kindness to your whole family, even if you're not here anymore. So 2 Samuel chapter 4 tells us that when Jonathan and Saul were killed in battle, and you can read this whole story in the last chapter of 1 Samuel, they were killed in battle. The king and his sons were killed in battle. As a matter of fact, it says that they were killed in, they were hung. The enemies, Philistines, took their heads off and hanged them on a wall. And, you know, when if you go to visit Beth Shan today in Israel, there's a tell behind the town. And about two-thirds of that tell would have been the time where the wall was and they hung those bodies there, which was very disgraceful. And some good people from a different town came and got the bodies out of there and buried them appropriately, burned them and buried them. And something happened when they give the news that Saul and Jonathan have died. And I'm going to read that to you in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son crippled in his feet. And how did he get crippled? He was 5 years old when the report of Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened that in her hurry to flee, he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. And that's the story we're going to talk about today. And the story is found in 2 Samuel chapter 9. Now you know that Saul had a son, Jonathan, and Jonathan had a son, Mephibosheth. But he was crippled because the nurse tried to get away real fast, thinking, oh, there's going to be a new king and they're going to try to kill this one, because it was the custom at the time that you killed the previous dynasty so nobody else could say, okay, I'm going to get to the throne. So 2 Samuel chapter 9, many years have gone by. Mephibosheth is now an adult and he's still crippled. And one day in verse 1, David said, "Is there yet anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" He remembered the covenant that he had made with Jonathan. And somebody said to him, Actually, let's read verse 3. The king said, is there not anyone of the house of Saul? Saul had been his oppressor. He had persecuted him. To whom I may show the kindness of God. It's not even my kindness. It's the kindness of God. And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet. He doesn't even say the name. He says he's a cripple. You don't want to have anything to do with him. He's a cripple. You know, it's interesting when you are known by the things that went bad in your life, you know. She's the adulteress. He's a jailbird. He's a cripple. And the king said, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. I want to show you where Lodabar was. You know, this is kind of the Sea of Galilee, and this is the River Jordan, and this is the Dead Sea. Here is Jerusalem, you know, where David is reigning. Lodabar is somewhere over here. It's on the other side of the Jordan. He went as far as he could because he was trying to get away from this new king because, of course, the custom was that he would kill all the descendants, right? And Lodabar means a desolate place without pasture. It's in the middle of nowhere in the desert and nobody's going to find him there, right? Well, David says, go get him. I can't imagine. It says here that they went to Lodabar. I can imagine the limousine, the camels going to Lodabar and the whole town going, what is this? And they're coming for Mephibosheth, the cripple. And verse 6, Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face, prostrated himself. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he said, here's your servant. And then David said, do not fear, because he's so afraid. He's so afraid. The first thing that David says, don't fear. And then he says, why? I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father, Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of your grandfather, Saul, and you shall eat at my table regularly. And Mephibosheth says on verse 8, what is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me? You know, this self-deprecation label. Perhaps you have felt like Mephibosheth, crippled, you know, socially, emotionally, even physically, mentally, spiritually. And here comes David and says, not only I will not kill you, even though you are Saul's descendant, I'm going to give you back all the land of your grandfather, which must have been a lot because Saul was a king. And you will eat at my table regularly as one of my sons. And it says on verse 11, at the end, Mephibosheth ate at David's table as one of the king's sons. Ah, I love this story because Mephibosheth was disabled politically, emotionally, socially, physically, and yet grace was given to him the way that is given to us. We get what we don't deserve. And God had made a covenant with us the way that David had made a covenant with Jonathan. And in this process, everybody was vindicated. You know, Jonathan as a friend of David, David as a man after God's own heart who keeps the covenants, and even Mephibosheth was vindicated because he was of royal descent, and here he's now sitting at the king's table for good. Can you imagine Mephibosheth sitting at the king's table for the rest of his life? You know that we are told that when we finally are with God, we are going to be in a banquet. And I love this. This is Isaiah 25:6. The Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain. That's what awaits us. We don't deserve it, yet we have it, because that's what grace does. Mercy doesn't give you what you deserve, because he took our punishment. But grace gives you what you don't deserve. And you know, can you imagine the first time Mephibosheth was at the king's table, dangling those little crippled feet? If you can imagine that, you can imagine heaven.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for those encouraging words.
And friends, thank you for spending this time with us this morning. If you'd like to learn more about our program or share us with a friend or even watch some part of today's program again, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow morning. We'll have music by Endless Praise, an inspiring message from John Bradshaw, another delicious recipe from the Good Food Kitchen, and an interesting masterstroke episode on the power and impact of music.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought, If you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study for your free Bible study guides. Check out the website. We are sure you'll be blessed.
We have to go for now, but before we do, we want to leave you with today's Bible promise. And today's promise is found in John chapter 14, verse 27.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
Amen. You know, friend, God longs to give you peace. So draw near to Jesus. He has promised that he will give peace to those who draw near to him. You know, we've enjoyed our time together with you today, and we hope that all these things that we've shared will be reminders of God's love for you and with you throughout your day. Let's pray together. Father in heaven today, Lord, we just want to be reminded that you are a God who loves us with an everlasting love. So today, Lord, that gives us courage. And yes, that gives us a lot of hope. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.